Thank you, David, and we thank all of you for being here this morning. Perhaps we want to say, on Crockett Road I stand and cast a wishful eye. The stormy banks, and hope and pray that the rain will stop for a while. And we certainly hope so. And we have had a lot of rain. Someone told me that our average rainfall every year is around 30 inches, and we've already had that much already. And so who knows what the next 6 months look like. But anyway, we're glad you're here this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers in our audience, and to all of you that have come to be with your mom, or maybe moms have come to be with you here at Crockett Road. And we're so thankful and grateful that all of you are here. You know, Mother's Day is a really, really special time. It is. We don't all have our mothers with us. They have gone on to be with our Lord. But we're thankful and grateful to all of those who are here today and who have made such an indelible impression upon the lives of your children. And I know that you have. A lot of times people go out and buy mom's flowers and get a card and that sort of thing. And by the way, the beautiful flowers that will be given away at the end of today's service were flowers that were donated by Adam Harding and Walmart. And we appreciate that. And the beautiful floral sheet back here that gives you the opportunity to have your picture made with your family was donated by Kay Ann Lowe. And we appreciate that, Kay Ann, so much. It is a time for us to remember mom and buy something kind of special for her. There was a man one time who actually bought his wife, of all things, for Mother's Day, an iron. Well, he was so impressed by that. She was so impressed by that. Come Father's Day, she bought him an ironing board. And but anyway, this morning we want to talk about motherhood and what that really entails. We always say Happy Mother's Day. Someone said they don't come around enough each year. People ought to be grateful. Someone said that we can be accepting applications now. Have you ever thought about a mother's job description? It is a permanent job, first of all. You never cease to be a mom as long as you live upon God's earth. If you gave birth to children, you will always be a mother. The successful applicant must be prepared to work hard. And all the mothers would say amen to that, I'm quite sure. And the workplace is often challenging and chaotic, environmental at times. Applicants must possess excellent communication and organizational skills, no doubt. And they must be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts, and you do it on call. There will be extensive chauffeuring duties also required, but your travel expenses will not be reimbursed usually. Some overnight travel will be required, including trips to camping sites, rainy weekends, and countless sports tournaments in faraway places. I know that to be true because I see what you moms do. You must be willing to bite your tongue repeatedly. You agree with that one? You must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, and coordinate productions of multiple homework projects. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance, laundering, and janitorial work throughout the place of employment. Previous experience, well, none is required, because no other form of employment is totally relevant. But on the job, in service, training is offered on a continual, and I must say, exhausting basis. And last of all, wages and bonuses, none. Job satisfaction is what you hopefully receive. No paid holidays. No bonuses are offered. This job supplies free hugs in life if you play your cards just right. You know, when you read the Bible, you recognize that there were many, many great examples of women who had faith in God, who served to remind us of what we ought to be doing with our children and how we ought to be living. And there was no one, I think, probably who excelled any more than a woman by the name of Hannah in the Old Testament. And Samuel would write about her in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Her name actually meant gracious or one who was of favor. Her story is found, and she really is the ideal mother. I want to talk to you about her and about some of the other women of faith. I would tell you, first of all and foremost this morning, that women of faith bring their burdens to the Lord. That is exactly what Hannah did. In her prayer, you remember the story of Hannah, how she had no children, could not conceive, or at least she thought so. And there is a transparent language that is found in a mother's voice. Her heart as a woman of faith will beat for God. It is true. And that the fuel of any relationship is communication and a real relationship. And the same is true with God. The fuel for a relationship that we have with our Father in heaven is based upon our love. It is based upon our communication skills and what we have developed in terms of a relationship with Him through the years. Now, her prayer, the prayer of Hannah, actually was not a shallow prayer with pretty petitions, and sometimes people do that, and orally they speak and they pray. But anyway, she was praying unto God. It wasn't one of an obligatory nature where she just felt like she had to pray. But she prayed with specific things in mind. It really was a cry of desperation for her. And it's like any young woman who wants to at some point become a mother and bear children. And that's exactly what she prayed about in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. She opened up her heart unto her God. You know, that's a great thing for a mother to do, isn't it? Especially when you're anticipating children, or even after you have them. God, help me to guide my child. Help me to lead that child in the way that is right. Hannah knew that only God Himself could really give her the desires of her heart. Did you know the Bible says that God answers our petitions when we pray with the desires of our heart? And she trusted Him to hear, first of all, and listen to what she was praying about. And then she wanted God to act accordingly. Hannah was greatly distressed, as I mentioned. But she prayed out her heart to God, and she wept bitterly over it. You know, I've often thought that before anyone would ever become a mother in our world, they should go before God and pray about their role as a mother. Help me to be, God, what You want me to be. She was so distressed, she didn't know where to turn except to God. And that's exactly what she did, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 10. Listen to her prayer, and she says, "Lord of the heavenly armies, if You just look at the misery of Your maidservant, remember me. And don't forget Your maidservant. If You give Your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor is never to touch his head." Now, what that's all about is the fact that they would take the Nazarite vow where you didn't cut your hair. A lot of people still don't do that. But anyway, this is what she's praying. She says, "Just give me a son and lend him to me till he becomes a certain age, 12, we know, and then I will give him back to You." And she did that. She carried him to the last, she carried him actually to Eli, the high priest. Eli, she was praying in her heart this great prayer, and actually Eli thought that she was drunk. Because when she was praying, her lips were moving. He could not actually hear the prayer. But she was a woman of great faith, and she knew what she was praying about. I have learned and observed through the years also that women of faith endure real problems. You don't run from problems. You stand up to problems. You understand there is a way through problems. You don't have to live with them the rest of your life. There's a way through it. And that's what we call a woman of valor. You know, in our ladies' Bible class each week here at Crockett Road, we've been talking about various women of valor and courage, and Hannah was one of them. But you could go back in the Old Testament all the way from Ruth to Rahab, great women of God. And even when our work feels ordinary and unseen and that people have never taken note of what we are doing, it does not go unnoticed by our God who is in heaven. He is watching, he is observing all that we do. Jochebed was a great mother of Moses. And she loved Moses. And the decree had gone out that every child 2 years and younger would be massacred because she believed in God and she trusted God. She became the great mother of Moses. We all know that God will forever test us, and we must have the ability to move on with our life and understand, just like Jochebed did when she earned her place in the great gallery of faith, and that she did. Women of faith also experience God's provision. One of the things I've noticed, too, is that when women really pray in great faith before God, believing it, you know, sometimes we pray so haphazardly and we never really pray with great faith, or that you believe that God's going to do what you ask. What it means to pray in faith is to believe it very sincerely in your heart that God is not only going to hear my prayer, but he is going to attend under the position to the petitions that I bring before him. Hannah knew that God was going to provide, and that he did. For he gave her a son. Can you imagine? No doubt she had spent much time in prayer. And I don't know how many prayers she prayed about this, but she probably prayed a lot of them. And you know, God knows just when to answer that prayer. Sometimes when we pray, we want God to answer our prayer right now. We want the answer right now. We want it to suddenly appear. And God doesn't always do that. He answers that prayer when the time is right. And the time became right for God to give her a son. And when the Lord gave her a son, whom she named Samuel, which actually meant heard of God or ask of God. She carried that son to the high priest Eli, as she said she would do. She was faithful to her promise, and she knew that God would bless her. When she carried that son, she knew that he was in good hands, and that God was going to raise young Samuel up, and that he did. He became the last judge of ancient Israel. And like most women in the Bible, Samuel, believe it or not, is not in the lineage of Christ. Now that's amazing to me. That always caught my eye, that he was the last judge of Israel, but he wasn't in the lineage of Christ like a lot of the other great people and great women of faith actually were. Hannah gives birth to this last judge, who would be a deliverer of God's people, who would set the stage for loving God, who would be a kingmaker, just like Mary when she experienced the birth of her son, Jesus our Lord, who would be a deliverer. He would be the judge of the earth, according to Matthew 12. He would be the King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, God always gives us what we want, if it is in his will. God's not going to give you something you don't need. You know, we as parents, we understand that. You're not going to give your child something that they can't handle. You're not going to give a child something that would not be right. And God's not going to give us something unless it is in his will. And it's confirmed by the words of the Apostle John in the book of 1 John 5 and 14, when he said, "And this is the confidence that we have before him, that when," he says, "whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us in regard to what we ask. Then we know that we have the desires," or the requests that we have asked from him. Get that petition and that picture in your mind, that God's going to bless us with what we need. He doesn't always bless us according to our greed. He blesses us according to our need. Now, somebody may judge you to be greedy when you're not greedy. Some people say, "Well, you don't need that." Well, you may not. Who knows? That's between you and God. Now, but I know one thing, that God gives us whatever it is according to his will. And we must abide in his words, John 15 and verse 7. For he says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you," listen to this, "you may ask whatever you want, and it shall be done unto you." You believe that? I believe it. Sometimes I think maybe we do not receive of the Lord the things we petition him with, because his words do not remain in your heart. God will only act according to his will. Selfish prayers will not be answered as we desire. But God will always provide what we need. It may not be what we want, what you think God ought to do, but it will meet our needs, and God will see that we're not neglected. The beautiful words of Jesus in Matthew 6 and 33 are truly astounding when he talks about the kingdom. The Bible says, "Above all, pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You know, a lot of times when we quote that passage, we always say, "Well, you know, Matthew 6:33 says you ought to put the church first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And we don't read the rest of the passage. But as Paul Harvey used to say, here's page two. He says, "Pursue the kingdom and his righteousness." You know what the righteousness of God is? You need to get to know it. "And these things will be given you as well." We should rejoice in the blessings that we receive of God. You know, they are so many, many in life. You and I have been blessed immeasurably when you stop and think about it. And sometimes it's always, "Woe is me," and, you know, "I don't have it so good," and it's a bad, bad thing. And sometimes when you're rearing children, I'm going to tell you something. I pray for all the mothers in this church, because I know what a job it is to rear children. We've reared them ourselves. There was a woman one time who telephoned a friend and asked how she was feeling. And of all things, the woman said, "Terrible, terrible. I'm feeling terrible." She said, "My head's splitting," said, "my back and my legs are killing me. The house is a mess. The kids are simply driving me crazy." Very sympathetically, the caller said, "Listen, you go lie down. I'll come over right away. I'll cook lunch for you. I'll clean the house. I'll take care of the children while you get some rest." And she said, "By the way, how is Sam?" And the housewife said, "Sam?" And the first woman said, "I must have dialed the wrong number." There was a long pause. And the woman, who was so distressed, spoke back to the woman who called and said, "Does this mean you're not coming over?" You know, in life, you'd like to think that there would be people that would help when you're going through trials or through difficult times in your life. We should be grateful to know that God is going to see us through it. We should rejoice in the blessings that we have received, for we are to rejoice always, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. The Bible says to always rejoice. And that's what we are to do. So God bless all the wonderful mothers in our audience today and all around our world who are making that conscientious effort to lead their children unto God. And we should have the courage to take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way. You know, God has entrusted in you. If you have children, God has entrusted their care to you. We're to guide them. We're to direct them. If you were to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman, one of the things that that woman did was to care for her children. Children don't always turn out like you want them to. But we have to make the effort when they are young to do what we can to encourage them. Encourage them to become children of God, Christians. And too many times we never bring up Christ in a conversation with our kids. It's always about school. It's always about pleasure. It's always about a lot of things. But we don't talk about God to our children. And that's a great tragedy, isn't it? Our children need to hear the words of Acts 2 and verse 38. For they too, when they are estranged from God, are just as lost as an adult. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is so true. That is a message that we ought to pound into the minds of our children, and to tell them that God has offered an invitation for them to come to Him. That's a woman of faith. That's a woman of valor. Maybe this morning in our audience there are those who are unchristian mothers, those that are not children of God, and you can't really lead your children where you are not willing to go yourself. So I hope this morning as we sing this song of encouragement that we'll realize that the fountain of God's love is still open. It is still ready, and Christ is waiting to receive you while we stand and while we sing.